Huberto moving in, waiting. Huberto to the backhand. Hoobie doobie doo. We are tied at two. What a goal. Loose puck at center. Barkov looking to get a step on Mete. Barkov to the net. Barkov between the legs. Unbelievable. Did you just do that, Alexander Barkov? The Panthers are back on top.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford joined by Jacob Barker this week. And the second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. And this is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. These questions can range from which team will hit the most threes to which team's going to score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details. Jacob, how you doing, man?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Justin?
Oh, just fantastic. I appreciate you you filling in for Noah. He just kind of bailed at the last minute. So appreciate that. But yeah, things have been good. For our listeners out there this week, because Jacob and I live together now, we got a cat for the house, a little kitten named Theo. So he meows a lot. So you might hear him in the background of this episode because he just kind of free roams.
Yeah, is Theo still in your room or did he wander out in the hallway?
Yeah, I think he's under my bed right now, to be honest, like meowing at me. I don't know if you can hear him from where you are.
I could hear him, but I wasn't sure. I didn't think it was coming through my headset. So I think it was just coming from the walls. So we'll see if he actually ends up in the episodes.
Shit, he's by my feet.
Oh, there okay. He's chilling.
Oh, shit. Kid. Yeah. Yeah. So he's chilling.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's been a good week. The Euros finally started for, you know, any soccer fans out there. So we've been tuning into that. You're a big England fan. They're up, you know, they won their game today.
Oh, of course. Oh, it was a great showing.
Is this the year it finally comes home? No, but that's okay. Lots of good teams out there. So we'll be watching that because the last few days there's been no playoff games, no hockey games because the NHL, I don't know who makes their schedule, but it's whack.
Yeah, I don't really know why there's like a three-day gap for no hockey there. I mean, I get rest, I understand that, but just the whole like staggered starts, everything like that, it seems weird. Even just starting, like, when we were talking about earlier today, just like starting Sunday at 3 p.m. just feels odd. It feels odd to me that like the one game is a Sunday at 3 p.m. Like, we couldn't have done it Saturday prime time. Like, I don't know. That's my thought on it, but yeah, today's game is solid though. It was a good game.
Yeah, like to me, the schedule, the issue I have with it, first of all, the playoffs have been definitely better for having staggered starts. They've been pretty good about that, which is nice because they sucked at that in the regular season. But just like the league rushed so quickly to get into the playoffs. Like they started the playoffs before the Canadian teams had finished playing. That's how much they rushed into it. And now then they just schedule like a nice three-day break for these teams. And it's a 3 p.m. game on a Sunday when Saturday night makes so much more sense to have, you know, your opening of, you know, the I guess conference finals. It's just, it's weird. But
I know that was odd, but I mean, in terms of the actual gameplay today, like obviously we were going to go split screen at our place. We were going to have that. And then the Ukraine Netherlands game there for the Euros, but TSN is not cooperating. So shout out to Sportsnet for allowing us to watch the Islanders Tampa game. But like overall game quality was good. Very on brand. And with Islanders gameplay, that's a very typical New York Islanders win. In game one, it's tough to see that second goal be the GWG there because it wasn't Vasilevsky's prime or best moment.
It was not the Vasilevsky we saw against the Panthers.
No, if he would have like done that a couple times against the Panthers, I think we're talking about a different series outcome, but he was just unbelievable. So
yeah, like you watch Vasilevsky, I don't think like he is one of the best goalies in the world. He is probably the best goalie in the world. I don't think he gets enough credit for how big a part he is of Tampa's success. Like when it was McElhinney this year, they were terrible. And those series either go longer or they might even lose if he doesn't play the way he did against the Panthers in Carolina. Like he was massive in those series. Not very good today. I mean, really the whole Lightning team didn't look great today.
No, it's a mix of like you give the Islanders credit as well. They know how to play. They play an incredible system. It's meant to shut down the best, and it worked today. Like I don't know, it might have changed in the last minute, but going into the final few minutes of the game, it was Stamkos, Kucherov, and Point combining for one shot on goal.
Yeah, with about 6 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, so that might have been inflated a little bit in the last bit when the empty net came for Tampa, but yeah, like just. Like that system is designed to shut down the best players on the other team. So Tampa is probably going to have to take a little bit to feel it out, see what they do. But yeah, like in this case, like when you compare it, like if Vasilevsky doesn't play the way he did against Florida, I know I'm biased, but I like Florida is going seven and Florida's probably like he won some games for Tampa in that series.
But yeah, it wasn't like just that he won it. It wasn't like just that he was very, very good. It was that the Panthers goalies up until Spencer Knight and the one game from Chris Drieger weren't very good. And that was just too big a gap for the team to overcome. But yeah, credit to the Islanders today. Like they shut it down. They did what they've done for, you know, the last number of years under Barry Trotz. And like we were watching the end of the game there, Islanders protecting the one goal lead, Tampa, they got the one goal back, their net's empty and they're trying to get shots through. There's like a minute left. And like there are so many bodies in between the puck and the net. Like I actually don't know if it like is possible for a shot to get through that.
That is
they just clog it right up.
Oh, that is like it's a term that I love using now. Is Theo at my door? I think he's at my door. But
yeah, he was scratching. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll keep talking as I go let him in. But that is like classic. We talk about the terms mostly used in soccer. Oh, he's at the washroom now. Okay,
figured out.
Yeah, I'll leave that open. But yeah, so that's classic Brexit hockey right there. That is like, and that, all that means is just like, this is purely for the bad. Like you see it a lot with like Burnley.
In the Premier League.
Yeah, for all the crossover hockey soccer fans. Just for the badge, old school. Get everybody in the lane, whatever you need to do to protect the net. It's absolutely jokes, but like it's effective and worked out really well. It can be classified as boring, which I mean, like fair enough, but also like it's effective. They're in the conference final. They went in the winning game. So they beat Tampa game one in Tampa. Like it's as much as the entertainment value goes down, like I don't think it really matters in that case. They keep winning. That's their job to win hockey games.
Yeah. And they're very, very good at it. Like give them credit. And this is a tough series for Panthers fans because, you know, you can't cheer for the Lightning. You just can't do it. But you also don't like the Islanders either, right? Like it's tough because they both, you don't like either, but the Islanders probably are the lesser of the two evils in this situation. If you're a Panthers fan, and even if you're a neutral fan, why not? Like what have the Islanders ever done really to anyone? They're just kind of there playing their game.
Yeah. No, there isn't really a team that I necessarily want to root for in the Final Four. Like, when I look and it's like, I don't want to cheer for Tampa because I don't like them that much. Like, I don't like them. The Islanders are pretty dull. Like I said, it's fair, but, like, it's not really a team I want to cheer for that much. the Habs are, I can't even explain at this point how they're here right now, but
it doesn't make sense, but they are. So
no, so the Habs are here, and I'm a Sens fan, so I don't want to cheer for the Habs. And then Vegas, who like Vegas is at the point, I don't know if you're feeling like this either, but Vegas is at the point where like their like way of like behavior, like they're like outgoing, like social, it's coming to the point where it's just annoying at this point now. Like they're trying to be like too cool. And I see it a lot on Twitter, like they're just like they're making a lot of people angry just because they have like the spotlight is us. We everyone revolves around us kind of thing. Yeah. What we do is like what everyone else follows suit. And for like a 4-year-old expansion team, it was cool when it was like a year old, but now it's just like, okay, no, now you're just being annoying. So like, I don't really want to cheer for Vegas.
Vegas like was an easy team to root for in the last couple of years, or not like their first couple of years, because it was like new team. Mm-hmm. And all these players have been written off. So it's like, okay, like that's an easy team to root for.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, not only it's like what you just said, but it's also the fact like for their fans, like a fan of any other NHL team has endured like the pains of their mm-hmm. franchise and their history, right? Like the Panthers have had like pretty much no success the last 20 years, right? That sucks. The Senators, other than, you know, a couple runs here or there, a lot of pain. Leafs fans, as much as, you know, we're not huge fans of them, a lot of very unfortunate mm-hmm. moments for them in their history. Vegas, like, they haven't had that pain yet.
They've walked into the league and have made the conference final 3 of their 4 years. And the only time they didn't was when they legitimately got screwed over in that San Jose Game 7, when they were up 3-0, and that crap 5-minute major that ended up resulting in 4 San Jose goals.
Like that is the closest to like actual like pain for that fan base that it gets. Mm-hmm. And it's not that bad.
No,
it's not great, but
they still had an opportunity to win. They still had every chance. Like you can't, they could have just killed the 4 minutes, or they could have killed the 5 minutes. Yeah. But yeah.
No, but I got to ask, like, as a Sens fan though, like, are you cheering for Mark Stone?
I cheered for Mark Stone. I like it. If I had, like, if you gave me those 4 options and were like, pick a team, I'm probably still going to lean Vegas just because, simply because of the Mark Stone effect. Yeah. I love Mark Stone. I think he's one of the best wingers in the league. I'm still to this day heartbroken that he had to leave. I stand by the part that he did have to leave. Like he was going, whether it was free agency or in trade. So I get it. But it's still like, to me, it's like, I would have fought harder. I would have tried like everything I can to keep him because I think he's that valuable. And that was a tough one for sure. Yeah. And it was like, it wasn't like the Carlson one. I'm not going to justify the Carlson trade too much, but there's more warrant to that than it is to the Mark Stone for me, because I look and I'm like, Carlson's at a very logical point in his career where like you move and now you look at what he's doing in San Jose now, where he's, it's like, okay, like he's on his decline.
Yeah. Oh, he's
Stone well was in just, it. Yeah. Stone was just entering his prime. Like, it's not like we were trading a washed Stone.
Yeah.
Like, we have some great memories, but he's not going to do anything. It's like, no, like he's going to get better in Vegas. Like it was a frustrating one for sure. But yeah, I guess like I like Mark Stone still. He's one of my favorite players. So I'll cheer for Vegas in that case. But still, if they win a cup, oh, it's going to be so annoying.
Yeah, it'll be annoying, like, a little bit. And, like, for me, like, you know, as a Panthers fan, like, seeing Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, like, obviously two very, very good players that the Panthers just gifted away, which is not great. But, like, it would be nice to see them do well. And, like, realistically, like, I think for the rest of the way, like, I'm probably just going to cheer for whatever team comes out of that series. Like, for the Habs, like, they're boring. They're not exciting. I don't know how they're here. But if they manage to find a way to win, like, is not the worst. And like, you know, there's a lot of you know, people from Quebec who come down to Florida in the winter, you know, and will watch, you know, Panthers games, support the team financially. So I feel like I could cheer for them a little bit, especially because the alternative is the Islanders in Tampa mainly.
Yeah, I would definitely lean, like, my dad is also a Habs fan, so I would lean closer to the I would take the winner of the Habs Golden Knights to cheer for over the winner of the Islanders.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah.
We'll move on though, because we're pressed for time on this episode, because I'm using my dad's Zoom account and that gets turned over at 6:30. But our main thing we wanted to talk about this episode, well, not the main thing, the first thing, the kind of big thing in the news this week was a question coming from Nathan MacKinnon's press conference after being eliminated in six games by the Vegas Golden Knights. The question coming from Adrian Dater. I have the entire quote here, and I'm sure a lot of people have already listened to it. If you haven't, you can find it almost anywhere. But essentially it was like, Nathan, like, you've basically, you know, your team, like, you had a really good team. You did all you can do, and you've done all this game planning. Next year, do you just go off? Fuck it, we're not going to think. We're just going to go out and play. And he's like, so am I, like, onto something with this? And Nathan MacKinnon was like, no. And everyone immediately ripped it. And then it found its way to Twitter and then started a little Twitter beef there between Dater and some other reporters. What are your thoughts on that question, that press conference, and just everything that happened around it?
Well, first of all, I hate it. Like, that's the short answer. But the long answer, I want, like, when you think about this happening, it's a discussion that I have a ton, because as a coach, like, I talk to athletes about this, and even I've had to interview in these cases. And I want you to kind of put yourself in MacKinnon's shoes here and think, you lost a gut-wrenching game six to Vegas. Hard-fought series, fantastic gameplay. It's two, like, the Avalanche won the President's Trophy. They tied for points with Vegas. It's two onesies going at it in this.
It's not like an upset. Teams. Like, it's no, two no. Very, very good teams.
No. Like, there is nothing separating these teams in my mind. So, fantastic series. And you battled. You played well. It wasn't perfect, I know, for a lot of Avalanche fans. But you played well. You lost to a really good hockey team.
Like, that's just the way it goes sometimes. Like, sometimes it's like, you know, a lot of guys show up and play well and you don't win. Mm-hmm. The other team just is a little bit better and gets a little bit luckier.
Yeah.
Like, that is a lot of what playoffs are. Mm-hmm.
And to have, like, you're at this press conference, you're gutted because you know that you, like, your goal, this Avalanche team, obviously the goal is a cup.
Well, you're like, the thing too is, like, earlier in that press conference, the most important quote pretty much from it, like, you know, our reporters are always like, all right, we're gonna ask questions and we wait till we get, you know, the quote that we want, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they're always looking for, and once they get their quote, they're set. And the quote came before that question, which was Nathan MacKinnon basically said, I've been in the league 9 years and I haven't won shit, and that sucks, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, if you're on that Zoom call doing the post game, like, that's your quote right there. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you got it, you're good.
Exactly. So for him to then get asked this question that basically says, essentially here, he is saying, fuck the game plan. Like, screw any sort of, like, pregame analysis, screw any sort of prep. Like, basically he's saying what you've done to this point just doesn't work. Any of the prep, anything before the games, everything you've done just doesn't work. Why don't you just try playing hockey? Is the stupidest question I've ever heard, the stupidest, like, thought. It's like, imagine you walk in and you're just like, oh, just go play. I'm like, that simply is just not how the NHL works. What would happen if the Islanders were just told to go play?
Well, exactly. Like, that team is built on their system and thinking and making smart plays. Like,
and the reality is, like, That doesn't solve anything. Like, you telling them to go play doesn't do anything, because they're obviously playing. They're playing hockey. They're doing the best that they can, and they got unlucky, and they lost to a very good Vegas team. So telling them to go play just simply is, like, the stupidest thing. And I have no, like, if I'm MacKinnon, I probably would have went, like, I would have probably told him, like, that was, like, the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life. Like, I don't really know what MacKinnon was supposed to say. Like, if I got asked that question, I'm like, is there any other, like, answer you can think of other than no?
Yeah, like the answer is no. Like, Nathan MacKinnon nailed it, mm-hmm. right? And, yeah, it's just a bad question. And the thing for me, too, is that, like, all the stuff that happened on like Twitter and stuff afterwards, where, you know, Dater's defending the question and going after people, which, you know, he's done in the past. And it's like, it wasn't a good question, right? And like, but that happens, right? Like, you fuck up sometimes. Like, we don't have, you know, we don't always have great episodes when we do this podcast. I don't always ask great questions. Like, it happens, right? You try something, it doesn't work. You just accept that. You're like, yeah, like, I made a mistake. Not going to do that again. Like, it's not that hard to like, just hold yourself accountable. But no, he just dug in and defended the question. And it's like, just own it. Like, it was bad.
No, he is, he's notorious for this as well. But it just seemed like such a, it just seemed like such a weird, like, and then like, I'm on his Twitter now, like I'm looking through this, it's like, because like people are obviously calling him out. And then he's like, I mangled this question big time. Fair. There's a reason I'm a writer and not a broadcaster. I don't think that is a logical enough excuse to ask. It's like, okay, if you're
I don't mind that, but that wasn't his initial response. That was like days later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if that had been the first thing he said after, he's like, yeah, I mangled this, make a little, like, you know, don't take yourself too seriously, basically, and just move on. Then it's not even a thing, right? If that's your initial, but then it's because he like digs in and does this that everyone makes a huge deal about it. And, you know, and it speaks to a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, you know, there's been a lot of talk going on just in the sports world in general about, you know, athletes and, you know, mental health and doing press conferences and stuff like that. And like, you know, you get questions like that and it's like, you get it. Like,
it's brutal. I don't understand what it was. I feel like I get you mangling a question. But if you're going to ask a question, at least, it's got to be better than that for me. That was just a really, really poorly weighted, poorly phrased question, poorly worded.
I think even if he had worded it better, it's still not a great question. Like, what are you hoping to get in there? Like, he's giving you what you want. Like, he's upset. He is, you know, it's been 9 years where he's been doing this and getting knocked out and, you know, he hasn't made the third round. So, what else do you really want? Like, he's given you what you need to write your article or whatever, send your tweet. Like, you don't need anything else from the guy. But we'll move on now because we wanted to talk at least something about the Panthers. I know there's not a lot going on with the team right now because it's like pretty much the off season and you're kind of just waiting, and I'm sure, you know, the team itself, they're all, you know, working on their expansion draft and stuff like that. But I thought we'd take a quick look at the 2021 draft, which Noah and I have talked about in various episodes of the podcast, but you are our draft specialist here on the show, along with also being our cap expert. So I'm curious to know, hear your thoughts. The Panthers currently holding the 26th pick in the draft, which is really the 25th pick because Arizona forfeits theirs because of what happened last year with, you know, all their illegal testing of players. You have a pretty good read on this draft, better than most people, better than me for sure. They have the 26th pick. Actually, before we talk about that, I want to talk about Owen Power, the guy who's projected to be the number one overall pick, which would be the Buffalo Sabres. He's a guy, some people very, very high on him, some people very, very low on him. He's coming off a pretty good world championships over in Latvia. Projected to be the number one pick. Has already stated that he intends on returning to Michigan next year. What are your thoughts on that decision and just on player, on Power in general as a player?
Yeah, well, obviously his decision is unprecedented for a first overall pick, as every first overall pick has been in the NHL in their year, but it is warranted in this case. With Power's game, he definitely has incredible potential. He's 6'6", he skates really, really well, offensive-minded. He's got the physicality, he's got the actual puck skills to be a really dominant defenseman at the next level. He's just still very raw. He has a lot of refining to do in his overall game, specifically defensively. There's a lot to work on just in terms of actually using his physicality. down in the defensive zone to assert himself, and hopping him into the NHL right away is not going to help with that. I think my scenario for him, if I'm the Sabres, I'm looking, oh, Theo's getting scared because it's Thunder. But yeah, I think with, with Power, my thought is he plays out the season with U of M, and then he signs and does his limited amount of, like, signs immediately after, does his few games at the end of the season, and then he's a full-time NHLer after that. But give him a year of the NCAA again, can really help. It's a great league. The NCAA is fantastic. So it's a great
place to develop.
Yeah, great development league. Gets another full year under U of M. Great coaching, good system play there. So I think that is best case scenario. And I really hope that Buffalo doesn't flip the switch on that and try to force him into the NHL, because I think that would be a really, really bad scenario for him in his first year.
Yeah, and we rip on the Sabres a lot. And, you know, you feel a little bit bad because just so much bad stuff going on over there. The one thing I don't think enough people are talking about with this decision is that, you know, a lot of people are just joking at the Sabres, like, wow, he doesn't want to play there, which he might not, who knows. But to me, the decision, I think, says a lot about him as a, about Owen Power as a person. Because, like, I don't know Owen Power. I'm assuming you don't know Owen Power. But to me, when he, you know, he's saying, I'm going to go back to college for another year, it's a player that, it's very easy for someone who's a highly rated prospect who's been hyped up for a number of years to basically say, yeah, like, I'm ready. You know, the goal is to play in the NHL. I want to get there. I want to be a star. Like, let's go, right? I think it shows a lot of maturity on his part to say, look, obviously I want to be an NHL player. I want to be the best NHL player I can be. I'm not ready yet. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what that says to me. It's that self-awareness of, look, I want to be a good player in this league. I need time to work on my game and get better. And we saw that a few years ago with Cale Makar, who made the decision. He played junior A his draft year. Then he did a year at the University of Massachusetts and had a fantastic year. Very easily could have joined the Avalanche that season once the NCAA had ended. But he said, look, I'm not ready. I'm going to go back. I want to get stronger, this and that. And he did. And Cale Makar is up for the Norris this year for a reason, because he is one of the best defensemen in the NHL. And, you know, you never know, but I think that decision plays a big part in that, in his development. And so I like that Owen Power has said that that's what he wants to do, especially because he's not like that, you know, can't miss first overall pick. He is just, you know, the most prominent name in a just jumbled list of draft eligible players. But coming back to the Panthers real quickly here, 26th overall, a lot of good forward prospects in the Panthers system, not a ton of really good defensive prospects. Do you have like a couple players who you think would be available in that range that you think would be nice fit for the Panthers?
Yeah, there's a lot of players. I'll speed round them, and then next time we hop on, I can match, like, we can go in depth into a few options here, probably a little bit closer to the draft. We can go.
Yeah, we're kind of a little close time-wise, so yeah. we'll wrap it up here. But I'll just throw round some names.
Yeah, speed round then, some names for, like, some – you all can do some research real quick.
Yeah, I was thinking – I was talking with Noah. We were thinking about doing an episode and hoping to have you on to do one where we do, like, a mock draft.
Oh, for sure.
And we each take every third team and roll through them.
Mm-hmm. So when I look
in that range, who do you like?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, given the Panthers situation, I think when I'm looking for forwards, I'm looking for speed. I'm looking for guys that are going to fit the system, high skill. I'm not really concerned as much about just the physicality. I know that they'll get there eventually. So right now, wow, it is thunderstorming. Holy cow. Right now, I think a great fit would be Isaac Rosen for the team. I think he plays with pace. He has a ton of skill. He could slide right in. I think another option is Logan Stankoven. It's guys that are just fast, skilled hockey players with a lot of upside. The physicality may not quite be there for them yet, but I'm not too concerned about it. And it's not like you need them to slide in right away. You guys are fine now. It's more like let them develop, let them get their full strength. Simon Robertson, if he's available, would be nice as well, but I don't think he will be. And then for defensemen, your number one name for me, again, whether he's available or not, is up in question right now. I think Daniil Chyka is your guy. If he doesn't go early, again, the mid-range is when you start to get defensive reaches, especially in a draft. Like the, a lot of high-end defensive prospects, and then it kind of drops.
And then there's a big gap.
Yeah. So, like, in this range, I bet there's going to be some reaching. I don't know if Chyka is going to be around at that point, but if he is, just a solid, good at everything guy, tons of potential. And I really like him. I think he can fill a lot of different roles. He's versatile, which I think fits the Panthers system really well. Like he's not like a one tool guy. It's not like a one or two tools and you're looking to develop a third kind of guy. No, he's a five tool guy. Just like,
yeah, Billy Bean type of guy. Five tools.
Yeah.
He's, plug and play.
He gets on base. He gets on base. That's what matters.
Yeah.
And no, like in all seriousness, he'd be an interesting fit there for the Panthers at 26 if he is available.
Yeah. Like, my thought is, and again, I've not followed this draft class as closely as I usually do or as closely as you. Danil Chyka is a guy I've watched for a number of years, ever since he was, you know, in the OHL with Guelph. I really like what he brings. He's gotten a bit bigger since then, too. I think he's a great fit for the Panthers. And I think ideally, like, the reality is 26 overall, you're not getting a player that's going to help you right away, regardless of position. You're just not. You're just trying to bolster your system and to have good guys that are ready to come in a couple of years. They got a lot of good forwards. I don't see a top four guy really in their defensive system. And I could be wrong on that. Like there's Kolyachonik and there's John Ludvig. So I think like ideally you get a defenseman and Danil Chyka would be my pick if he's available. The issue for me is that the other two defensemen that are, you know, going to be around that range are Carson Kuhlmans and Carson Lambos. And I don't really like either of them.
No, I'm not a fan. Lambos has slipped hard. I think Lambos would be good value at the 26th or the 26th overall. I think it's technically 27, but yeah, 26th overall. It's good value at that point. I think he still has a lot of good tools in his game. I just don't think his upside is quite as high as people thought it was when he first came in. And Kuhlmans again, it's a similar, he's kind of a wild card. I liked him at the U18s in his role, but again, it's a role. It's not like he walked in and like was fantastic. It was like, I thought he played his role well. So again, decent fit for the prospect pool. Again, if you're just looking to bolster it, add another guy that can maybe turn into something, like it's okay. But yeah, Kuhlmans is a little bit of a gamble. It's a low level junior league. And like,
that is some disrespect.
Home league, noted disrespecter of the AJHL, Jacob Barker. Except I love Carter Savoy, so I can't really hate it that much. But
yeah, I mean, Savoy is just unbelievable. And we'll talk about, you know, we can talk about him and more of the draft stuff in a later episode, but we got to wrap this one up. So thank you to everyone tuning into this week's episode of the podcast. We'll be back on Thursday. Maybe with Noah, maybe not. We'll see. But thank you to everyone tuning into this week's episode. And we hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you all then.
Just do that, Alexander Barkov! The Panthers are back!